Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Today's episode is brought to you by Select Italy. Select Italy can design custom itineraries and book a whole range of product services, including state-of-the-art tours, wedding, honeymoon trips, ticketing services for museum and musical events in Italy. Visit selectitaly.com to learn more. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Amateur Traveler, episode 516. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beautiful beaches, Phoenician and Roman ruins, mullet, and some of the oldest people in the world as we go to the island of Sardinia. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. We'll be hearing more from our sponsor, Select Italy, but first, let's talk about Sardinia. I'd like to welcome to the show Max Hartshorn, who is the editor and owner of GoNomad.com. Max, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Chris.
And Max is talking about something that we plugged 2 weeks ago on the show, and that is the island of Sardinia. Where is Sardinia, first of all? Because I'm not sure that everybody even can find this on a map.
Well, there's a big island next to another big island to the left of Italy. And one of them is Corsica on the top, and below that is Sardinia, which is an independently run province of Italy. It's a governmentally on its own autonomous province, Sardinia, the second largest Italian island. The first is Sicily. It's right below Corsica.
Okay. And we made one reference to why you should go there in that show that we did 2 weeks ago. But Max, why do you think we should go to Sardinia?
Italy is full of people that have gone to the big three. I talked to one of my travel writing friends and she said, I'm going to Italy. I'm going to Rome, Venice, and Florence. And I said, not that those aren't great places, Chris, but a place like Sardinia is so much more spectacular and so much less crowded. Even on a crowded day, Sardinia will be a third as crowded as anything in Rome or Florence. It's just wide open, huge. It's got its own language. It's got some of the best seafood I've ever eaten. And the beaches, I mean, there's not a lot of really great beaches in Italy. It's, you know, the Atlantic coast of France is much better. But Sardinia, all the way around, you get these spectacular beaches. My last trip to Sardinia was to western Sardinia, to the Sinis Peninsula. That's S-I-N-I-S Peninsula. And they have a beach there with this quartz pebbles about the size of BBs, maybe bigger than BBs, but they're actually little tiny washed quartz pebbles. Just the most beautiful beach you've ever seen. And you're not allowed to take them out of the country. They actually stop people at the airport with buckets of these tiny little crystals that people try to walk out with. It's a big problem.
Now, you said it's got some of the nice beaches in Italy. Really, that makes it some of the nice beaches in the Mediterranean, too. There's a lot of bad beaches. Well, when I say bad beaches, there's a lot of beaches that don't measure up to places like the Caribbean or Hawaii.
The richest people on Earth go to the Costa Smeralda, the Emerald Coast. You know, people like Vladimir Putin has about five houses there. Of course, Abramovich has a couple of mansions there. And, of course, our old favorite, the Italian former President Berlusconi, has a lot of fun in the Costa Smeralda. It was actually developed in the 1970s by the Aga Khan, and he sort of started the whole thing. And these are the people that can go anywhere, the Larry Ellisons of the world. You'll find them in August docking their mega yachts off of the side of Olbia, which is where Costa Esmeralda is. That's emerald water, the most gorgeous azure blue water. And yet, you can go out of the Costa Smell. You can, of course, stay at a ridiculously expensive place in that part of Sardinia, or you can travel in a little bit or down the coast away from the shishi parts and find very inexpensive places to stay.
Excellent. What kind of itinerary would you recommend? How would we tackle Sardinia? Where would we start?
Yeah, well, you'd start in the Cagliari, the capital. You have to start there because there's no planes that can get you from the United States to Sardinia without going through Rome or another gateway. So you're going to fly to Rome, and most likely, and then a short flight or a ferry. You could take a ferry over. But Cagliari is the main city, and it's a beautiful city. It's not a very large city. I think it's several million, but not very big and pretty manageable. And I'd say a few days to get your bearings in Cagliari, and then I'd rent a car. I really would. I think that being on your own independent, there's nothing to be afraid of for Americans renting cars in Europe. I think there's a little bit of a fear about that. You don't have to worry about driving on the other side or anything. But I would take a road trip from Cagliari and head up to the west coast. I would really go again to where I went this summer, Cabras. It's a small little town, Cabras and Oristano. And then you can get to the Sinus Peninsula, which is a wonderful place. It's just spectacular. And one of the big sort of selling points, I think, for Sardinia is the history. If you love ancient ruins, how about going before the Romans? You're talking about the Phoenicians. That's who settled much of Sardinia. So you can go to a site called Nora near Cagliari, which is a beachside, beautiful ruins. And then near Cabras is Taros, T-H-A-R-O-O-S, which is a spectacular Phoenician/Roman site, which they're still discovering things there. They're both right on the beach. So it's just a tremendous contrast between ancient civilizations built right on a beach, and everything's just so wide open and spread out. Unlike anywhere else in Europe, I think, you get this magnificent sweep of land. And I just continue along the coast or inland. People might have heard about this. It's one of the places on Earth where people live the longest. And when I was there, I met some people who were very old. I met a guy who ran a winery, and he was 102. And he said most of his friends are in their hundreds. They all live in this little village in the center of Sardinia. There's just a magnificent sort of it's a little place in the middle. And it's in the Barbergia, which is the wilderness. And that's another thing I would say is that slot in some time for a Jeep tour. And you can reach these folks called Barbagia Insolita. And they will take you in a Jeep on the top of a mountain, and you can meet an old guy who will make you some amazing food, including the specialty, which you might cringe a little bit, but it's suckling pig, tiny little pigs on skewers that they roast, and they're just absolutely about as good as they get.
Excellent. Now, there's no truth to the rumor that the guy who was 102 was just there helping his dad out at the winery.
It's tremendous how many people are old in Sardinia. And you would think about, why do they live so long? Well, first of all, they're eating that wonderful Mediterranean diet, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're drinking their ration of red wine, which they say has that wonderful resveratrol, which you all hear about. But mostly, they're around other people who need them to be alive. There's a vitalness. They're not shipped off into the homes. You know, they're in their village. Their daughter comes in or their son comes in. Their friends check up on them. They have vital lives, and they need each other, and they're needed. And that village, I never forget, we had a meal, a 50-foot meal. Did this again when we went back. A 50-foot meal. Everything was from 50 feet or more, 75 feet at the most. It blows away anything we talk about when they talk about local food. You go to Sardinia, you really eat local food.
Let's take a break here and hear from our sponsor, who is Select Italy. Select Italy is the ultimate source for travel to Italy and offers a wide range of superior Italian travel products and services, including customized itineraries, state-of-the-art tours and packages, wedding, honeymoon trips, unique culinary classes, a complete pre-departure ticketing service for museums and musical events, private guided tours, yacht charters, transportation, hotel reservations, villa booking, and more. Through a vast network of suppliers and cultural contacts, anything and everything you need for optimum travel to Italy is possible with Select Italy. Based in Chicago with an office in New York and Shanghai and support staff in Italy, the company has expanded its offerings and travel services to the Balkans with the launch of Select Croatia. Visit SelectItaly.com and SelectCroatia.com.
Now, you mentioned the sweeping landscape, so you say that, and I've got a mental picture here that it's not a lot of trees, but a lot of open land and rough landscape.
It is. I remember driving across the island. We went from one side to the other, and you just get this incredible sweep. It's got vegetation, but it's not a lot of trees. There are parts of the island which have forests, but I think you'll also find this amazing – you don't really see that in Europe as much. I mean, sometimes – I remember in Wales I saw that too, that long, sweeping area, just dramatic.
Sure. Yeah.
But you really get that, and there's nothing breaking the scene. There's so few people there. There's something like – 1 million people, or maybe 2 million people, and it's like Sicily is 6 million people. So the contrast is pretty striking. There's not that many people there.
Yeah, I think you mistakenly said the capital was about 1 million people, and you were doubling its population. I think the whole metropolitan area I was reading is less than 500,000. So not a lot of people go to Sardinia or live in Sardinia compared to so many other places in Italy.
And also, people are leaving. I mean, it's a sad fact is that like any island, people are leaving Sardinia. So you really have a lot of older people and not as many younger people. But some of the folks I met there were really into living there. It was prosperous. And like this town of Cabras, there were a lot of people involved with fishing. They're harvesting the fish very sustainably, but they're managing this fish. They're called mullet. That's the most popular fish there, the gray mullet. So there's a fishery in mullets, and of course, they have the roe of the mullet. It's just prized. It's the thing that everybody wants is the mullet roe, and they dry it out and they put it on pasta. And it's just one of those just unique things. Fregola is another pasta they have, sort of looks like giant couscous. And these are unique foods they just have in Sardinia.
You mentioned unique foods. Are there other foods that we should try when they're the seafood, for instance, you've raved about, the mullet, and what else?
I'm having a little mind blank about what that stuff is called. I bought it. It's orange, and it's the roe of the mullet. You can get it in a powder. Anyway, that'll come back to me in a minute. You go into a restaurant, you can get these little skewered suckling pigs, which they cook on little spits, and the fregola, which is the pasta. And then they have a nice set of wines. I mean, really impressive wines that aren't even exported into the United States. Any of the local wine, for me, it was really good. And again, not expensive. I think that it's limited because it's an island. So I don't think they're shipping a lot of wine off. But it's the simple foods that you might expect in any other part of Italy. But maybe multiply that by more because of the freshness of that seafood, because you're right near the ocean.
Okay, and I was looking up that row, and how does the word Butarga sound?
Butarga, yes,
Butarga.
Sir. Butarga is the name I could not think of. It's a prize thing. I mean, just to set the scene, we were in Cabras, which is in western Sardinia, and we met a couple who own a yacht, an old, like, 42-foot yacht. We can provide some information about this later on your website about how to get in touch with these folks. You could take a charter yacht. You go out with these folks. They used to race yachts, so they know a lot about the yachts. And you go along the channel, and you're in the Gulf of Oristano, and you're looking at the Tharos, the ruins, which are on shore, and you're just gliding by. And there's a tower. There's a Spanish tower that was built to repel the pirates. And it was just a magical day. And then at the end, you've got this Butarga, which she put on top of her own simply tossed olive oil and Butarga. And in that boat, it just tasted like the best thing I've ever eaten. Of course, I brought it home, Chris, and I made it at home for my friends, and they weren't impressed at all. They said, "What's this? Thanks a lot. This is salty, fishy stuff." So it doesn't always work as well in the United States as it does in places like Sardinia.
So it works better when you put a yacht under it, you're saying.
You really need a yacht. You need some stories about seamen and
stuff.
Some things taste better. I brought back some olive oil from a trip to Croatia. I'm hoping it's nearly as good as it was in Croatia, but you know, you never know.
Sure. So you started us in the capital, and then we headed down to the peninsula. Where would you go next?
I would definitely make that circle. I would go from Cagliari, then I would go to west over to Cabras, and then I would go up to Aglero, which is a peninsula, and there's some more beautiful beaches up that way. And then I'd head over to the east and see the Costa Esmeralda, something that to be seen for sure. It's like the Riviera, but even more spectacular with more spectacular houses. This Aga Khan was very well known in the 70s as a leader and somebody who was opening up kind of a movement. And some of the houses that they built, we drove by one place that they pointed out that was owned by Vladimir Putin. Quite the mansion and quite the spectacular part of the world, that Emerald Coast. Then you could just swing down and make kind of a road trip circle all the way back down.
Okay. I don't know the scale here. Is that large enough that we're going to stay in different places? Or are we home basing if we don't have our yacht with us? I think mine might be in the shop then.
I think that you would be looking at, let's say, a 7-day trip. I think you'd probably be staying in like 3 or 4 different places.
Okay.
I like to try to stay a couple nights in each place. And that's sort of the tyranny sometimes when you're a journalist and you're shuffled sure. off to here and there. So I would certainly set up an itinerary for a 7-day itinerary, try to hit 4 places, and you get 2 nights in each. But they're all pretty unique.
Well, I think a good rule of thumb, too, is if a travel writer or a travel journalist is doing it in 2 days, you should think about 4, because we tend to travel at a little crazy pace sometimes just to cover places. And you mentioned beaches, and we talked about how the beaches there are some of the best in the Mediterranean. Favorite beach?
As usual, when I traveled there, I didn't really get to stay on the beach or go on the beach.
Lying on the beach, yeah.
I really had little to no time to do that. So I just would say anywhere in the West.
Hence the doubled amount of time we talk about rule that I talked about previously, yes.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Chris. Don't do what I did. Take your time and have a little more control of your itinerary. The one thing about Sardinia that you do find, there's 4 different kinds of winds when you're there. That wind really plays a big part. And so you have the Mistral, which is from southern France, that comes up, and that's good for sailors, they say. Then the Sirocco blows off of the Sahara, and sometimes that can bring dust storms, and even dirt and stuff can be blowing. Then there's the Grecelle, which blows in from the northeast in the wintertime. You do get a lot of wind in some of these places, and that affects, obviously, sailing, although this gentleman I was with, who turned out to be the former captain of the Jacques Cousteau vessel, the what's the name of the boat? Well, anyway, he said that this is one of his favorite places to sail because they had all these different kinds of winds. You will go to the Costa Smeralda and see so many sailboats, and it's a great sailing destination.
The Calypso.
The Calypso. He was in charge of the Calypso.
Oh, wow.
And so here he was. And you can actually meet up with these folks. They're really sweet. They rent their own yacht, and you can hook up with them, and they can take you out. And there's lots of other people that will do that same thing. It's called the Santa Maria, and that was based in Cabras over on the western side in the Sinus Peninsula.
Okay. Are there other outings or excursions like that that you would recommend? Things to do, not just things to see.
And May 1st, there's a really great festival. It's sort of too bad we just missed it. But it's called the Festival of St. Officio. And it was a spectacular thing. Italians do festivals better than anybody. They really do. Maybe as well as Mexicans do. But that is a festival where there's about 350 small villages all across Sardinia, and about 150 of them each year are chosen to be able to put on their own local costumes and march in a parade with horses in the capital of Cagliari. And we saw this is really pretty tremendous. They have a street and all the horses and all the procession, but before they all march, they put rose petals on the street. So the whole street is covered with rose petals, and these horses gently tiptoe on these petals. It's just the most amazing thing. I really have to say that was a great event. They actually go out of the center of Cagliari and go all the way down to Nora, several miles away, in a big procession. And I remember being told that on the way back, they gallop these horses along the beach and on the way from Nora. And it's quite a spectacular thing. Another place that has been written up in GoNomad.com is Fordon Gianus. It's a Roman ruin in the center of Sardinia, which is very well known to archaeologists. Big site for ruins. So if you like to not only just see them, but walk around them, walk in them, have a guide explain to you how people lived. And all over Sardinia are these little huts. They're little stone huts called Naragi. And these are back from the Phoenicians too. Some of them are used for farmers and stuff, but you see these little Naragi. They're cool looking things. They're maybe like 20 feet wide, and they're just round stone huts. And this all just harkens back to this Phoenician era, which is just way before the Romans, which to me is fascinating that you really get to go that far back.
What you say way before the Romans, just a little clarification there, they were actually rising at the same time. In fact, that was the Punic Wars that they fought was in the Western Mediterranean, who was going to be the big man on the block, because Rome was rising at the same time as the Carthage and, you know, who were coming out of the Phoenicians. So, yeah, I guess the Phoenicians started a little later, but the height of their civilization when they'd be over here in Sardinia would be right around that Roman Republic era.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places where you can sort of see that the Romans had built over what the Phoenicians had built. So it's sort of like, you know,
yeah,
you get
well,
the
they
combination.
Were there longer. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also in Taros, there's a Spanish tower that was a quite dramatic tower, sort of, it really stands out. And it's a big rock tower you can climb up on. And that was built because these Saracen pirates kept invading Sardinia. And so, in order to fight them, they had to have a lookout. And so, they created this big tower to look out. And, you know, pretty violent history, of course, like so many things in Europe. You know, there's a lot of fighting going on
and a lot of
ego. One of the things that they just discovered, well, fairly recently, is they call them the Giants. And these are, again, from that same era. And they used to line the road. There are these big, huge statues that were about 12 to 15 feet tall. And in the museum in Cabras, they're very excited that they have reconstructed some of these giants are now on display in Cabras, which is a small little town on the west. But these are, again, very significant to history because these were the sort of the markers of where people went into this town. And they
Interesting. Well, and you mentioned the Saracen pirates all along the Mediterranean coast. You can often see these cities where the old town is up away from the water. It's up on the hill or whatever. And you think, well, that looks really inconvenient. Why didn't they build it right down here by the water if they were fishermen? And the reason was pirates.
That was a big problem back then, I think.
Yeah.
Now they're having it in Somalia and Sudan. But of course, back then we had it right in Europe.
This was a bigger deal than that, too, because they weren't just taking ships. They were raiding the coastline all over the place. So I've been to Italy before, and so Sardinia is sort of Italy, right? It's part of Italy. But what's going to surprise me when I go there?
Well, first of all, they're not speaking Italian.
You mentioned that.
they're speaking Sard, which sounds a little funny. It definitely doesn't sound like it in Italy. Now, you can probably get a Sardinian to talk back to you in Italian or maybe English, but that language sounds much different. Just the fact that you can just drive out of the town and be sort of in this windswept, open, huge area, you don't see that much. I mean, you see it a little bit in some other places, but I think what I was most impressed with was how few people there are, Chris. There's just not that many people there, and that really bodes well. I mean, it bodes well for travelers. I feel like in someday it might not be good for the people there because there might be not very many people left to do things that need to be done. But for right now, my original story about the friend who said she was going to Italy, she's going to these three places. Oh, I thought, oh my God, you're going to be so crowded. It's like this place is so much the opposite of that. Anytime you go to Florence, it's super crowded. Rome is pretty hard to navigate. Venice can be a nightmare. We landed in Cagliari. We got on a train right at the airport and went right all the way up to Oristano by train. It was an hour long. And then that train ride, there's a lot of winter wheat that's growing and flowing wheat. And so open. And you just realize, man, this place is going to be a breeze. And I would have loved to have my own car. So I would emphasize to get a rent a car. That would be a good idea.
Okay. And you mentioned that their own language. I'm assuming you don't speak Sard.
My Sard is limited.
How is your Italian?
It's pretty much like my Spanish, which is like I know a few words. I didn't find I needed either when I was in Sardinia. I mean, I think that there's enough understanding. You probably found this too, Chris. I mean, I remember 10 years ago, it was a real big problem about language. Now it just seems like it's not a problem. It seems like most people are really just geared towards that sort of lingua franca. English seems to have turned into the trump card. And so you don't have that many problems. I certainly didn't have any problems with that in Sardinia. And I don't think any of your guests would have any problem if they were traveling there.
Excellent. But when we talk about problems, what is one warning you would give? You should know before you go to Sardinia that
if you take some of those stones from the beach, they'll confiscate that, you get into big trouble. And don't do anything dumb at the ruins like that guy did last week who toppled over some priceless ruin in a ruin. Now, don't be one of those people.
Are you talking about the person who backed up to take a selfie and broke a statue, or is this a different story?
Well, I've heard several stories, but that was the one that was last week.
I
heard about another kid in Peru who knocked over a temple column or something. So don't be one of those people.
We don't have any of those people listening to amateur travel.
I trust that we don't have those kind of hoity-poity. Here's one thing to bear in mind. If you go to the west coast of Sardinia, don't expect anything except seafood until it's coming out of your head and you're so dying for chicken. But you won't get chicken. You'll get more. I remember I said after the seventh day, breakfast and lunch, dinner, all seafood. I said, can we just get something that's not seafood? And they said, how about clams? How about shrimp? I said, no, it's just seafood. It's a seafood is it. And so if you don't like seafood, you would not like Sardinia, at least where I was.
Okay, excellent. As we go to wrap this up, what else should we know before we go to Sardinia, before I get to my last, say, four questions?
Okay, well, know that the distances are very large, that it's a very large island, and driving might take you longer than you think, although with the windows of GPS, you know, we can figure all that out.
And you say very large, I'm seeing 70 to 100 miles end-to-end, something like that, probably with some windy roads, too.
Not a lot of big highways either. You should definitely try to go to the Barbagia, which is the middle. That's where you'll find these centenarians. But the Barbagia is very well known in Sardinia as being just this wild place. Definitely go there. Definitely check out, I think, Cabras and Taros, and definitely check out the Costa Smeralda. But distances are far, so don't try to do too much, because I think that you might find yourself in a car a little more than you want to be.
Okay. You were talking about the size of Sardinia, and I was obviously looking up the length of it. But one of the things that's interesting is I'm sticking to my roughly 70 to 100 miles long, but the coastline is 1,000 miles long.
Oh, yeah, because zigzags.
Yeah,
exactly.
Isn't too surprising when you look at that map. But if you're driving along the coast, it's going to take you quite a lot longer than you would think. So.
Yeah. Now, another thing just about the food, there is one of the things about Sardinia, which is kind of cool, is they have this special kind of bread, and you always get this bread whenever you go to a meal. And it's this panna carousel, and it's this very thin bread. It's almost like matzah, but it's like if you took a matzah and it was half as thick or maybe even a quarter as thick as a matzah, that thin. It stays fresh. It doesn't go bad. So you can serve it. They probably serve it over and over again. But that with the olive oil is just a great treat that you'll find everywhere, the special kind of bread. No matter where you'll always get this special local bread.
Excellent. Last four questions. You're standing in the prettiest spot in all of Sardinia. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I'd say if you were standing on the hill in the western Sardinia at the Sinus Peninsula, and you can take a little upward sweep and looking out, on the one side you'll see a beautiful surfer beach with big waves and big white caps on the one side. And on the other side of the peninsula, you'll see the ruins of Tharos, which is the ancient site, Roman Phoenician site with some of the old columns. So you get the contrast between the two. I remember a bike ride. That's another thing I'd really recommend, Chris. Biking in Sardinia, we rented some bikes and took a ride along the shore. The whole time we were riding was right along the ocean. Didn't see any people. And being able to do that, ride along the ocean, is really not, again, that common. If you imagine, you can't do that in Cinque Terre or whatever. You know, you can't do that in very many places. It's usually so built up along the ocean. But here you can have a beautiful bike ride miles and miles right along the ocean.
Excellent. And by the way, what was wrong with my estimate? It's 130 miles roughly by 70 miles is the size of the island. So
taller. Yeah, it's taller than wider. Right.
Yep. Next question. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Sardinia.
Only in Sardinia would you hear somebody speaking Sard, because nobody speaks it anywhere else on Earth.
Yes, but it would be rude to laugh at them for that. So,
but I've never seen anybody cooking tiny pigs, like literally like piglets.
That's also the specialty of Toledo, Spain, the roast suckling pig.
Okay, well, then you're familiar with that, the roast tiny little pigs. If you go to Sardinia, you'll have a lot of great stories to tell, and everybody won't say, oh, I've been there. So that's kind of fun. Like even you.
Sure.
I've never been there. Everywhere. I've never been there. So that's a nice thing to be in a place where everybody hasn't already been there.
Although I'm not a big fan of seafood. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, forget going there, Chris. Take it off your list.
And finish the sentence. You really know you're in Sardinia when what?
When the menu is really long and everything on the menu is fish and there's nothing else you can possibly have. And then they bring out the bowl of Botarga and everybody is in awe of the Botarga, and hopefully it'll be as good for you as it is for them.
And if you had to summarize Sardinia in three words, what three words would you use?
Big wild island.
Excellent. Excellent. Our guest again has been Max Hartshorn. And Max, where can people read more about your travels?
On GoNomad.com, we have a slew of articles about Sardinia. It's one of our favorite places. So you can read feature stories of mine and other authors on GoNomad.com. Just type in Sardinia in the Google search.
Excellent. And is there one article that if they're going to check out Sardinia on GoNomad's, your favorite article there is?
I've just been reading one by a gentleman named Richard Frisbee. It's called Sardinia, a Prized Gem of an Italian Island.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Max, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Sardinia.
Okay, good to be with you, Chris. I hope to hear from you again.
I heard from Bradford on the show that we did recently on buffalo, who said, how in the world could you do a whole episode on buffalo and not utter at least, or at least mention the phrase buffalo, 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 buffalo? For those of you who don't know what he's talking about, the story is that that is an actual sentence because buffalo can be used as a verb, as an adjective, as a noun, and I don't even remember what it all means, but it makes you sound like you're crazy, and that's why we didn't say it. And he says, thanks for adding another interesting area to my list of places to someday visit. One reason I hold travel important is that it piques my interest in topics that didn't hold any appeal before, say during school. It's one thing to read about something in a textbook, but to actually be there gives a completely different understanding. I must admit that except for learning the song in grade school, I didn't quite appreciate how much the Erie Canal had an impact on our country's development. I've watched a few Erie Canal documentaries, both historical and current, and it's been fascinating. One of the things I love about your podcast is that the end of each episode is just a jumping off point to learn more. Thanks for all you do, and congrats on your 500th episode. Yeah, I'm a little behind in my listening. Here's to 500 more. And thanks so much, Bradford. I know exactly what you're talking about. I am one of those people who doesn't take ignorance well. I have to learn more, and that's one of the reasons that I do the show. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, do what Bradford did and leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. If you like Amateur Traveler, tell others by putting a review in iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are found. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral.